is the song that heaven sings. All creation praise him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Elohim.
Elohim. Come to reign forever.
Come to reign forever.
King of kings,
yes.
And Lord of lords.
King of kings and Lord of lords. Lift your head, O Zion.
Open wide.
Open wide. Holy, holy,
holy. The song that heaven sings.
Yes.
All creation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Elohim.
Come to reign.
King of kings.
And Lord of lords. Lift your head,
O Zion.
Open wide. And we cry,
holy,
we cry, holy,
it's the Lord,
is the Lord,
we cry, holy, we worship your holiness. Holy and reverend is your name. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your kindness. Father, as we speak from your word, we ask for your unction upon my heart, my lips, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Bless this word to our hearts. Let our hearts burn within us. And let your Spirit do his work through this word in our wills, minds, emotions, bodies, and circumstances. So as it has been sung, Zion will lift up her head. The ancient doors will be opened. The King of glory will come in and reign forever in Jesus' name. This afternoon, I'm just going to spend a few minutes talking about what we prayed about today, honoring fathers. Today is Father's Day. In many places, it's just a nice tradition, and it is a nice tradition. There's no doubt about that. It's a good thing to honor your mothers and your fathers in England and America, and I think it's most of the people in the world have adopted the same thing like we do here. You know, it's a tradition of the Church of England, really. You know, they have a day for Mother's Day, a little bit different in America. And in England, America, I think today is Father's Day all round. And therefore, it's a good time to reflect on the truth and concept of fatherhood. And I thank God for the time of prayer we had. And the word from which Mama Sarah prayed for us from Zechariah chapter 3. Fathers are men on the earth that God has put responsibility upon. We have natural biological fathers who have given birth to physical children. And we also have spiritual fathers who may not necessarily have physical children, but they have spiritual children One excellent example of that, of course, is Paul. Paul never married. Paul did not have any physical children of his own, but he certainly had thousands of spiritual children. He actually wrote this in an epistle stamped and approved by God the Holy Spirit. He said, "You have 1,000 instructors, but very few fathers." And he said, "I have been a father too." Can I have that scripture, please? I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's in verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 15. Well, while they're taking their time, I will... Is it on? Thank you. "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." A spiritual father is one who God uses the word of God through them to birth you into the kingdom on one hand, and then on the other hand to grow you up in the kingdom. It's very wonderful to observe a phenomenon. We've seen this over the years. You know, just like physical children look like their physical fathers through the biological seed and the DNA and all of that, biologically, you see spiritual children looking like their spiritual fathers because of the word they've heard. You hear people stay under a person and they start preaching like that person. We've seen that, you know, over and over and over, you know, and so it's a real phenomenon. It's real. You can see the effect, the word of God that is that has been imbibed by somebody who has followed another person like Elijah and Elisha, and then you see the same characteristics. You see them talk the same way, sometimes even the same gestures, you know. And it's just like in the physical, the spiritual son takes on the characteristics of his spiritual father, even though sadly sometimes that doesn't work out exactly as precisely as that. But it's generally speaking, it's true. And so fathers are people with spiritual responsibilities that God has set in the earth, either biological or spiritual, or sometimes both, you know, over people to be fathers to them. Now, what does it mean to be a father? To be a father is much more than just physically giving birth to children. That is important in its place. But, you know, a father, spiritually speaking now, from the biblical standpoint, is one who provides spiritual covering over his spiritual children and spiritual nutrition for them, so that they can be protected on one hand, and then secondly, so that they can grow spiritually. That is why what Mommy shared with us earlier, my wife shared with us earlier, is of great spiritual significance, because of the strategic position that fathers occupy. They are targeted by Satan. And many times, instead of fighting 1,000 people, Satan fights one person. If he can get that one person, he's got the 1,000 under him. And it makes a lot of sense. Why fight 1,000 battles when I can fight one and win all the others? And that's what we see in the book of Zechariah. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. And I'm going to read firstly from the King James, and I will switch as God leads me in and out of the Amplified Bible or probably the New International Version. "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing where? to comfort him. That is a vision that God gave the prophet Zechariah. This was, the historical background is very simple. You know, this was a time when they came back to Israel to try and rebuild the temple and the walls. And this was a time of, Joshua, Zerubbabel, and all these guys, Ezra, who had all gone back in obedience to the decree of Cyrus to go and build the temple in Jerusalem. And God gave Zechariah this vision. And in the vision, he saw the high priest. This is not Jesus, even though there is a prophetic application to Jesus. And in particular, this message I'm giving you now, there is a prophetic application to you and I. And that's where Mom Sarah picked it from, by the Spirit of God. Now, what happened historically was this. They were going to build a temple, and it was going to be done, through the prophesying of and the leadership of Zerubbabel, who was the physical governor, and Joshua, who was the spiritual governor, the high priest, to try and hinder the work. Satan comes to stand to resist Joshua. So God gives Zechariah a vision of what was happening to Joshua. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm ministering completely and totally by the Spirit. It's not. I wrote a few notes, but it's not. I'm not following the notes. I'm just flowing in a complete direction the Holy Spirit has given me, a spin-off from what Mommy Sarah shared. And I was whispering to her there that it's very, very strategic. I don't want to lose a thought. A big problem that currently exists in the Church of Jesus Christ, here in Nigeria, in America, is a very, very big problem. In England too, it has become a big problem, is good fathers. How many people know that? Good fathers. There are some, but they're not many. And many who even try to be good, something seems to come against them that wants to make them ineffective as fathers. Hello? We have, of course, two categories. We have the natural fathers, who are just people who are not necessarily born again, and they don't know the Lord, but they try to be fathers, and you find all kinds of problems. You got financial problems, you got problems, in terms of infidelity towards their wives. You find problems of self-centeredness, selfishness, where they're not good examples to their children. They get into all kinds of terrible things and therefore become ineffective as fathers. There is a whole generation that is in the earth right now that are not enjoying good fathers. In America, particularly African-American demographics, demography, United States, Africa, it's not only of them, please. I'm not trying to, but this is a fact. You find that many, 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 you find single mothers looking after the children. The fathers many times are irresponsible because they don't look after their children. They don't want to take up the responsibility. I happen to know for a fact in England, we're talking about it just a few days ago, guys who are fathers, they are fathers, not in quotes, they're actually literally fathers, but they're irresponsible. So you find him having one in London, and have another one in Birmingham, then have another one in Newcastle, and be collecting the dole. The dole is what the British government gives to people who are unemployed. I was talking to somebody. He said sometimes it's from generation to generation. There are generations of people in England, you know. I know for England and same thing in America. You know, in America they have social security too. You know, where you know they have never worked. The father didn't work. The grandfather didn't work. Because many times it's actually easier to collect the social security than it is to go and look for a job and work. That also has its own ramifications. Sometimes they can't get good jobs. Sometimes the job they get, the money they get, is so small that it's actually more financially sensible to take the dole than to take the job. So why will I go and take the job? You know, by the time they take my taxes and they take this and I take the rent, you know, what is left is so small. Whereas if I was on social security, I can just sit at home, watch TV and put my head on the couch. Now, I said all that to say this. An enemy has done this. Satan stands behind at the right hand of Joshua to resist him. It's not just, we see the physical effect, but there's a spiritual reason that is behind it, because he is resisting. The high priest now is like the father. Every father is the high priest of his home. Positionally. Now, functionally, many are not. But positionally, every father is supposed to be a high priest that is providing spiritual covering for his wife and children, and secondly, you know, spiritual nutrition, an example, so that he can nurture them spiritually and they can grow and, you know, and become what God wants them to be. Honey, you know the funny thing? This was the original plan. Go back to Genesis. That's God's original plan. He made Adam and Eve. He said, multiply and replenish the earth. The wife and the husband were supposed to have children who were godly like their parents. And that godly seed was now to produce another godly seed. You know, for the seed should reproduce after its kind. It was supposed to be in perpetuity. And fill the earth. Now we see that in the book of Malachi where it says, for what purpose? That's why God hates divorce. He said, why did he bring them together? He said that they might have a godly seed. And so to hinder that plan, Satan comes to plant himself against, you know, to resist Joshua. Joshua now being a type of the high priest and the fathers. That's why it's applicable to us today. That's why that prayer we pray today is very, very significant. Because there are many fathers who are not as effective as they should be because Satan is resisting them. That is why we have to pray that prayer to remove the filthy garments. The garment is symbolic of our righteousness. The righteousness that has been spotted with sin has to be removed and cleaned with the blood of Jesus. So you now give him a new garment so that he can become effective as a high priest over his wife, over his children, and even, you know, over his business. You're not only a father at home, you're also a father at work. You're a father. You know, if you own a business, for example, maybe you own the business, or even if you don't own the business and you work somewhere, in that sphere of influence, maybe in your office, maybe there are 10, 15 people who are around you, you should take control of that atmosphere. They can't do nonsense when you are there. Or they shouldn't do, unless Satan has been effective in resisting you. So this thing is, it has multiple implications. And that's why we need to take the prayer we heard today, take it like, and that's why we asked, Pastor Gregor did something, he received it. And I too, you know, received it. And then we made that confession after, you know, praying from that same scripture, you know, that it's been removed, you know, and we cannot operate effectively as high priests. I've looked at it over the years. You know, Satan is very strategic. You know, he targets fathers. You see it in Nigeria. It's not in Nigeria, it's all over. You know, when you start hearing story of what the father did, you'll be saying, it's them, but it's not just them alone. An enemy has done this. That's why you find, you know, infidelity, you know, of all kinds of things. When the man dies, all kind of people just start showing up. Hello? Have you seen that before? After the man died, people just start showing up. Say, who are you? Say, I'm the son. Where did you come from? Ah, you don't know anything. When the man was alive, he had... I was reading something in the papers. I won't mention the name. Very, very important man and family. You know, just recently, judgment was given in favor of a son who was born out of wedlock, and the man had the child with another woman while he was alive. You know, he died, you know, and had a child, you know, and they didn't know. The other family, the wife and the children knew. They had no idea. So this person now shows up and says, I am this person's son and I have a right into the property and some of his inheritance, you know, his estate. You know, it was, I understand it's been like a 30, 40, 50 year battle. And they contested and contested, but the boy won. You know why? DNA. He won. Because it was true. And the man didn't leave a watertight will. So because the DNA proved that the boy was truly the man's son, you know, they know 20 years ago, there was no DNA. But now there is DNA. Everybody say, an enemy has done this. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, I didn't hear you. The Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? The God will rebuke the devourer in your home. God will rebuke the devourer in your family. I got another word. God will rebuke the devourer in your generation. Some sins are generational. That same spirit that walked in the grandfather walked in the father and is now walking in the son. I've seen it over the years. The same mistake some fathers make, you see their sons making exactly the same thing. Sometimes it's so uncanny. It's the same devil. And that's why we as Christians need to take our stand. Christian men, this is not a time to pussyfoot around. What I mean by that is that this is not a time to relax spiritually. You got to be very serious. Be on your guard. Watch yourself, watch your sons. And don't play around with praying in the spirit. Because what your grandfather did, if you don't take care of that spirit, it won't do the same thing in you. Next verse. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Remember, Joshua here is a type of the high priest and by extension, this message of a father. Filthy garments. That is, his righteousness has been compromised. But I got good news. Hallelujah. Those filthy garments will be washed white as snow by the blood of Jesus. Thank God for everybody. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. and stood before the angel. Another message for another day. Because the angel there represents messenger. So like me, for example, to the glory of God, I can be an angel. The angel of the church at Ephesus. The angel of the church. So you stand before the angel. It is the angel that spoke the word that set Joshua free. Next verse. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him. Who is talking? The angel. That's what Mommy Sarah did this afternoon. Take away the filthy garments from him. Every father said, my filthy garments have been taken away from me. And unto him, he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Hallelujah. Say, can an angel do this? Of course he can. Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. We've just never taken advantage of what is available for us in the church. Pastors and those in persons of spiritual authority or spiritual strength have the power to remit sin. Actually, every Christian can. You know, to remit sin and give you a change of garment. Now, one other thing I want you to observe here, you know, I'm not going to get deep into this, but I just touch it. Garments there, of course, represents our righteousness. Revelation chapter 19, where it says, you know, and she was clothed with fine raiment, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. That's one. But another understanding of garment, which is very important here, is the flesh. Your physical body is the garment of your spirit. And that garment, this physical body, has the sin nature in it. But as you cling with the blood of Jesus, the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can change your raiment. Change your flesh. Hallelujah. So that righteousness will dwell, it will reign in your mortal body. Ah, only Mama Sarah is clapping. Oh no, I just hear wow. You know some of these, they'll just be looking at you as if. Change your raiment. Every father here, change your raiment. Remove that sin nature from the flesh. Hallelujah. And put righteousness on. Hallelujah. It's actually one of the rewards of the overcomer. I preached this message 2005. Becoming an overcomer. And the Lord asked me to review it recently. You know, and I went, I just looked at his, you see it in Revelations, all the rewards, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. But this one, I think, is in verse 5. You know, I want to give it to me. Revelation chapter 3. We're going to come back to Zechariah, and then I'll close. It's a short word of exhortation. He that overcometh. How many people want to overcome? Yeah, see your hand. Keep the hand up. Keep your arm. Not, it's not a punishment. It's just to get your attention. Praise the Lord. So you don't nod off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He that overcometh. You're going to put your hand down there. The same. Don't your neighbor say, he's talking to you. Because your hand is over up. And you're telling me you're an overcomer. Okay. The same shall be clothed. What? In white raiment. Put your hand down. This is available pre-heaven. We're not going to get this when we get to heaven. No. I have to get it here. That's what he was talking about in Zechariah. Change of raiment. So clothing with white raiment. You know, there is a place in God. And that's where, because, honey, it's a year of upgrade. It's a year of, you know, promotion. So what God is doing is that he's upgrading our men. So that they start operating with a new raiment. Now I got good news for all the fathers in the house. Today's Father's Day. Stay under covering. There's some things you may find a little bit difficult to do. But if you stay under covering, the grace to do it will be given. You shouldn't go around with filthy garments anymore after this afternoon. If you had any filthy garments, it's all forgiven. It's all gone with the, in the, you know, in the sea of forgetfulness. Cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And then move forth in light. Yeah, good guy. Back to Zechariah. And I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Next verse. And I said, who is I? The angel. There's something about spiritual authority. Let them set a fair mitre. Now, let's go to the Amplified here. Let's quickly just zoom into the Amplified. Thank you. So it comes clearer. You know, that merits is old English. You know? And I, Zechariah said, let them put a clean what? Turban on his head. You won't understand this unless you understand the tabernacle of Moses and the garments of the priests. It's a message I should preach sometime. I preached many years ago. You know, and Rick Godwin too had one beautiful message on, you know, the priestly garments. You know, recently I was reviewing just my normal Bible reading and all of that. You know, and one of the things that the high priest had was this turban. Then there was a golden inscription that was put on it, and it was called Holiness Unto the Lord. What it signifies is having the mind of Christ and having clean thoughts. And that's what he's given him here. And he said, let them put a clean turban. You know, there's a dirty turban. The turban was dirty before. So they removed the dirty one. God is removing your dirty thinking. So they put a clean turban. I didn't hear you. On his head. And clothed him with rich garments. Another message for another day. The high priest had three garments. He had a white tunic. Then he had a blue one. Then he had the curious girdle. Three anointings. You get born again. Then you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then when you now get the curious girdle, you now get the Spirit without measure. Rich garments. Hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord stood by. Verse 6, I think I'm going to shut down there. And the angel of the Lord solemnly and earnestly. I'm doing that now. Fathers, I'm addressing you solemnly and earnestly. Protested and affirmed to Joshua, saying, verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts. This is a word to every father. And I thank God this thing is on YouTube. So it's not only for scripture pasture, it's for any Christian all over the world. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. If you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then also you shall have rule over my house. You shall rule my house and have charge of my courts. And I will give you access to my presence and places to walk among these that stand there. You know what that means? You'll be able to stand in the presence of God. And then you will rule over your wife, your children, your household. You know, that's what Paul said is one of the characteristics of the pastor. He says, if any man desires the office of a bishop, he says he desires a good work. He said, then a bishop then must be blameless, husband of one mind, ruling his house with all gravity. Watch this. And having his children in subjection to what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's dominion of God. So this, we close. short word of exhortation. This charge God has given us this afternoon. See, God's done something wonderful. He's removed the sin. He has given you a change of garment. He's put a new turban on your head. Then he gives you a new charge. He said, now walk with me. He says, if you will walk with me, you will rule over your house. You become an effective high priest. You will take charge of my courts. And I will give you access. Hallelujah. A Zadok priesthood. Thank you, darling. You know, you'll be able to walk among these that stand by here. Hallelujah. You'll be like an angel. I mean, do you know, I don't like saying it like that. Because when you say it like that, you know, the religious thinking is that, angels are higher than men. But really, not really. Yet, we were made in the image and likeness of God, which is higher than angels. But we fell below the angels. See, when we fell and we became like the devil, Satan is a fallen angel. So we now fell below the angels who are faithful to God. But in Jesus, good news. Hallelujah. We have been restored back to sit with God in the right hand of God at the heavenly places, which is now superior to angels again. So God is now giving us a place. That place among these that stand by. You shall decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. You speak in your house and your word, where the word of the king is, there is power. Your word will not fall to the ground. You pray over your wife, you pray over your children, and so shall it be. God is restoring you to your correct position. Don't go and pick up those filthy garments again. Don't go and take that wrong turban again. Keep your mind clean. How? The word. It says, now are ye clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. All these things we've taught you and that we're teaching you. The blood, the word, and the spirit. You know? And just all you need now is just to maintain. See, there's been a lot of rubbish that has happened, ground that has been lost. But you know, God is in the question, he's in the business of restoration. It's one of the things that's characterizing this end time. I will restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten. So everything that Satan thinks he has taken, God is giving it back to you. Your wife, your children, you know, there is nothing God cannot do. I got to close with this. It's a beautiful thought. It's another message that I'm still developing it, but it's just a little thought from it. You know, this end time, God is looking for Enochs. Not eunuchs. Enochs. What is an Enoch? This is Enoch's characteristic, and it's probably true of many of the people, not only in this church, some of the people here, and many Christians all over. He says, Enoch, he was 65. Then something happened. He changed his mind. He wasn't walking with God before. He wasn't a godless person. He wasn't a sinner. He was, but you know, what I mean is that Enoch was a good man. He wasn't, just like a lot of Christians today, they're not bad people. They go to church, they pay their tithe, their dollar, but they're not committed. At the age of 65, Enoch changed. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God. And God was pleased with him. And God took him and he was not. The Enoch generation is the generation that will walk in the man-child and will be caught up to the throne of God. So, I want you to check your age. Just do a mental calculation. There are many of you are not 65 yet. Some of you are over 65. So, I will move you from the Enoch generation to the Abraham generation. Abraham's side are 75. And then you say, oh, I'm older than 75. I will move you from the Abraham generation to the Moses generation. He started at 80. You know what God is telling you? It's never too late. Wash your garment. Put on something. Whether you're 65, whether you're 75, whether you're 80, whether you're 90, if you make up your mind, he will restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten. Stand to your feet. Another message for another day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, this glory that is coming is going to cover three generations. Thou, thy seed, and thy seed's seed. The generation of our fathers, our generation, generation of our children. That is why you find that the outpouring is universal. Little boys, young men, with dreams, old men. Everybody can partake of what is coming. Just be like Enoch. Change your mind. Talk to God. Hallelujah. But be like Abraham. Abraham lived in a heathen society. Ur of the Chaldees. His father was a moon worshipper. They used to worship the moon. That's Abraham's background. He came from Iraq. Can't believe it. But he's Father Abraham today. Nobody remembers that anymore. Are you listening to me? Moses lived in Egypt. He was brought up as a prince of Egypt. Didn't know the God of Abraham. Although he had a good heart. And in his heart he wanted to serve God. But he didn't really know God properly. He didn't know God. You know? And you know, God had to, you know, get him out of Egypt. And he killed the Egyptian in anger and all of that. Moses had a terrible anger problem. But you know, God had mercy on him and took him to the Midian. Jethro, his father-in-law, and he was looking after sheep. You know what? 40 years, Brother Ndubisi. 40 years. Preparation. When you think it's over, God says it's just starting. He was 80 years old. By that time, you think life is over. Everything we know about Moses that makes Moses Moses was done between 80 and 120. And there is a Moses generation on the earth as I speak. Doesn't matter how old you are, if you see the burning bush and you take off the shoes from off your feet and you exactly to walk as a barefooted priest, and you stand upon holy ground, God will send you to Pharaoh, and you will set your people free. You will set your family free. You will set your generation free. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Nekatala mashakare friends. Nehomo sofrenes. After a while, you can't talk English anymore. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Everybody, put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. In your prayer.
We are content
in your presence.
Hallelujah. In your presence.
We are content.
We are content
in your
Hallelujah.
Presence.
In your presence there is life. There is light.
Expressions
of your love.
Presence we now bring
our
lost
God's presence as I speak. And God told Moses, now go to Egypt. Go and set the people free. For the cry of oppression has come up to me. Your wife, your children, your family, your generations. And God wants to set them free. In God's presence there's power, there's light, there's revelations. With that, you were equipped to go and set your people free. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean all of our hearts with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I come to you this afternoon. I stand in your presence. I am content in your presence. Because there is nothing I want or need that is not available in your presence. And therefore I am content in your presence. And I come to receive revelation, fresh revelation of your power and of your might. So that, Lord, I can walk with you. I will to keep your charge so that I can be effective as a priest in my position in the name of Jesus, my God and my Father. Like Enoch, like Abraham, like Moses, like David as a young boy, like Joseph, like Daniel, who purposed in his heart. Father! I purpose in my heart today to walk with you. I will keep your charge. I will walk in your ways so I can rule in your house, in the sphere of influence that you have put me in the name of Jesus, to set men free, to enforce your kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Lambrecatolomashokromatolo, Lambrecatolomashe, Yokotofre, Ambrecatofrides, Angardolos, Lafrenes, Nikotolos, Neras, Gilicaras, Zephrius, Nungaros, Loprides, Neras, Noskifrides, Locrides, Nofrideles, Nuskifrides, Langaradeles, Nofrides, Nalas, Tufrides. In Jesus' name. Mommy, come. Join hands with somebody. We're just going to pray for our healing. Father, I come to pray for everyone on the sound of my voice. We release healing virtue. Everybody say after me, say, we release healing virtue into this body of Christ, to everyone that we are touching. In the name of Jesus, we declare you are healed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. The life of God is in your physical body, and it is medicine to all of your flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us share the grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live, you will not die. You will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor and say, welcome to a time of upgrade. Ruling in your house by the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great weekend.